Jazz trumpeter Etienne Charles explores the ritual and celebration of Carnival in his native Trinidad in his latest album. It's titled Carnival, the Sound of a People. Charles is also an associate professor at Michigan State University. Stateside's Mercedes Mejia sat down with him to talk about what inspired his project.
Etienne, thanks for coming in. It's good to have you here.
It's great to be here. Thank you so much for having me.
So when I think of Carnival, I think of Brazil, of course, with their huge parades, the dancing and rhythmic drumming and sort of elaborate costumes. And in some countries, you know, people wear scary masks and costumes, large bells that clang and drive out evil spirits in a way announcing the end of winter and beginning of spring. And all of this somehow invokes a kind of trance in people, right? And I'm wondering about the origins of this project and what inspired you to study Carnival in your homeland of Trinidad.
Well, you hit on a very strong word there with respect to trance and transformation. And this project came out of a few things. One, it was a way for me to kind of do an in-depth research into not just what Carnival was and is, but what about what caused it to be like that. And it actually turned into like a history study almost, because through the culture and through the current state of art in Carnival, it became a study. It showed how the history affected it, because Carnival is basically a dialogue in Trinidad. It's a dialogue that a society has between itself and its past and its present and also its future, because it's like you can kind of draw lines. And so it ties in all of these different influences from West Africa, from European settlers, and not just European settlers, but also specifically colonialism and the resistance to that, and as well as many different. I mean, Trinidad is inhabited by people originally from India, people originally from China, people originally from Syria and Lebanon. So there are all these different influences as well that they're going to making up the population of the island, in addition to making up the art and culture. So this project kind of really just tied in all of these things, and for me it was a way to learn about the magic that causes people to transform from their day-to-day state of, this is me at work on Thursday morning at 9 a.m., this is me leaving work Thursday afternoon at 4 p.m., to then what caused them to transform from that to Ajab Malasi.
Well, let's talk about that, because that's the first track off your album, and it centers on a blue fire-breathing Carnival character. Tell us about this character and its relevance.
So the folklore behind Ajab Malasi is that it's the vengeful spirit of a slave who met its death in a cauldron of boiling molasses, which was one of the ways that slaves were tortured specifically in the colonies that were inhabited by French planters. Like, Jab Malasi is a French Creole term. Jab comes from the French word for devil, which is diable, D-I-A-B-L-E. And then Malasi comes from melas, M-E-L-A-S-S-E. In Spanish, it's melaza, which is French or Creole for molasses, which was, at the time, sugar was the main crop, specifically in Trinidad, that was being exported. So what it is, it's a theatrical depiction of all things to do with suffering, but it's also, there's a huge overtone of vengeance, there's a huge overtone of parody, because there's a very almost comical dance that they do, even though they have these very, their eyes always become extremely intense. They hit on these biscuit tins, and when they hear that sound, it's that wood hitting metal, they start transforming, and they don't actually get into costume or character until they hear that rhythm. So while they're getting ready to perform, they have to have the soundtrack playing. They have to hear it, like, in there. And it's just the beating and they're singing. Like, if you let them, when you hear the track, you hear random screams going on. Because that was just, I just recorded them. I didn't do anything. I didn't make any loops or anything. That's just them and their screams and their shouts. And once they hear that, that's when they transform and they climb up these greasy poles and they, well, anyway, yeah.
And they paint themselves in these videos that you have, mm-hmm. you know, you see them sort of transforming and you can hear it through the music itself. Yep. And then you come in with the trumpet.
Mm-hmm. Because I wanted
to bring a different element.
Well, I wanted to copy the sound. I wanted to copy with the melody the sound of the scream. The sound of the doubt, the sound of being in a new place. Like, what does it sound like for somebody from the afterlife, from 200, 300 years ago, from the underworld? What is it like for them to be in 2019?
From what I understand, you recorded samples of them drumming, and there's chanting and some of the songs as well. And did you find that people were open to collaborating with you in this way, in this project?
For the most part, people were open. Everybody was receptive. Everyone was receptive. Some were a little cautious at first, specifically with respect to Black Echo, one of the groups. Was a little cautious, you know. They said, well, you know, we have a sample that has been done that you could just buy the sample and put it on a keyboard and then you could record that and then you could use that however you like. And I was like, yeah, but I'm not recording samples. I'm not. This album is about people. This album is about the energy that music gets and it channels and the dialogue that happens between musicians and their ancestors when they play. And so once they understood where I was coming from, they were like, okay, yeah. So then all of a sudden they had all these ideas about how we were going to record and what they wanted to do. And so.
So let's talk about another character that you explore in this album, Moku Jumbi.
Moku Jumbi. So Jumbi. Moku Jumbi is a really old tradition in the African diaspora. You see stilt. Some people call them stilt walkers. You see them on these high stilts.
You see them in Cuba.
You see them in Cuba. Yeah, you see them Brazil. In St. Croix. Yeah. You see them all over. Mm-hmm. And it really dates back to Africa. And in Trinidad, Moku Jumbi, you know, we call it African nobility reimagined. But a lot of times the story goes, because, you know, there are different parts of folklore that tell different stories, of course, because over 200, 300, 400 years, stories kind of change. But the story that resonates with me the most is that the Moku Jumbis we see are the Africans that use their height to walk across the Atlantic to come and rescue their brothers and sisters who had been kidnapped and captured and sold across the Atlantic. And that's the story that really resonates with me when I think of it. And the way I wrote the music, it's like there's this ostinato bass line and then the horn line kind of goes up. And I was trying to replicate the idea of looking up, like specifically like a child, a short child, looking up at this tall Moku Jumbi and what it sees. And then also when the Moku Jumbi starts to dance, because they, you know, they pick up one of their legs and they like lean back and they do all of these crazy moves. And so I wanted to capture that sonically so that like the piece moves all through these different modes. So that's the Moku Jumbi.
Your students at MSU can learn from this project and your approach to music?
From this project? many things. One, that don't box yourself into one thing. Be really open to what you can learn from other cultures and be really open to learning the ins and outs of your own culture. You know, we live in a time when because of imperialism and nationalism, in a sense, people are kind of boxed in and categorized based on like exactly where they're born. And so what it does is it takes away the concepts of migrations and immigrant experiences. So like even though I'm from Trinidad, my great-grandfather's from Martinique, my great-grandmother's from Montserrat. You know, I have one of my great-grandmothers, her family's from Venezuela. She's Warao. So, you know, it immediately changes things to understand, okay, well, yeah, but we're African from Trinidad, but it's like there's all these other things at play. Same thing with wherever people are from. So, you know, I always encourage my students to get in touch with their roots, understand the grooves, understand the musical traditions, understand the food, understand what rituals have what type of music with them, and then be as creative as possible with respect to how you compose and how you tell these stories. Because that's one way that we could connect as a people more is by understanding, you know, for me, the easiest way to learn about a culture is through their music, their food, their clothes, their rituals, their architecture, you know, what type of jewelry they wear and why, their language. And all these are arts. And so that what I hope that my students can learn from projects like these that kind of little out of the box, especially when you speak of terms that people call jazz, is really out of the box. But it's for me, it's my most at-home project. Because it's the one where I connected with the most people where I am from.
Well, you can find out more about this project and other music from Etienne Charles at etiennecharles.com. Thank you so much for coming in.
Thank you for having me. It's been so much fun.
Etienne Charles will be performing tomorrow at the Summer Solstice Jazz Festival in East Lansing. Support for arts and culture coverage comes in part from the Michigan Council for Arts and Cultural Affairs. Coming up, Halal Metropolis, an exhibit that shows Muslim contributions to art, music, culture, and so much more in public places in Southeast Michigan.
It's great to be able to have a hub where people can come together and appreciate, you know, all of the creative expression that all these Muslims have from different backgrounds.
You're listening to Stateside from Michigan Radio.